Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now in Mark chapter 5 and 25, it talks about a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says she had suffered many things from many physicians. In fact, she had spent all that she had and she was no better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well." The Bible says she got to Jesus, she touched his clothes. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her affliction. And immediately, Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And there was a crowd all around him, trying to touch him, and he was bumping into them, and they were bumping in. And Peter said, "You see the crowd around you, and you say, 'Somebody touched me.'" He said, "Yes, somebody touched me, because virtue left out of me. It was the touch of faith. It was the miracle faith touch. So virtue left me. I didn't see the person. I don't know the person. God didn't tell me about the person. But when they touched me with the touch of miracle, faith, desire, God healed them." Folks, this is amazing. God knows all things, but think of this. You don't have to wait for God to touch you to be healed. Your faith can touch God, and God will heal you. And say, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me?" We want to get God's attention. "Here I am." But this woman said, "If I can just touch him. I believe in him. If I can just touch him. He doesn't need to know my name. He doesn't need to know who I am. He doesn't even need to know I'm here. I can just touch him, because it's not so important that he knows me as long as I know him. And I've got faith in his ability to heal me." Oh, that we would have that type of faith today. We would not rely on the physicians to report to decide what our end would be. We would decide on the faith that we know him. And if we touch him, by his stripes, I was healed. I'm talking supernatural matters to you today, folks. I'm not talking in the natural. I'm talking where God lives, in the supernatural. You heard what Jesus said. "Yes, with men, this is impossible. But with my God, all things." I said all things. I said all things are possible. You've got to start thinking outside of the box, because when you deal with God, he is greater. In one portion of scripture, it says that the universe lives within him. Oh, let that bend your mind for a moment. In him we live and move and have our very being. The entire world exists within him. The Bible says he lives above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof seem like grasshoppers to God. All you need to know to receive a miracle is he is the miracle worker, and I am his child. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything comes from God. So there is a spiritual expectation expectation between every blessing, all favor, every connection with God. Remember, we were talking about covenant relationship. Your covenant relationship with God depends upon your obedience to God and His word. You can't be in covenant with God and continue to disobey His word. You break the covenant through disobedience. And that's why it's important that when God heals you, that you walk in obedience and not step outside of the word of God. The Bible says in John 5 and 14, Jesus found the man healed at the pool of Bethesda. And listen to what he said to him. He said, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And this is something that most people need to hear. Yes, God healed me, but He does not expect me to return to a life of disobedience, lest a worse thing come upon me. And it has happened to people. So much so that individuals say, well, they were never healed. Oh, yes, they were. Well, I thought it was a mighty miracle, but look, they died. Oh, they were healed. But Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now I go back to my story. I knew a woman totally healed of cancer. But when she returned shacking with her boyfriend, cancer returned, and she soon died. See, this has to do with Jesus' warning. Folks, look, the word of God is true, and I'm saying this for somebody's benefit. Because you need to know the whole truth of the word of God. God has principles in His word. You can't live disobedient to His word and expect to have blessing and favor and heaven. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, many will say on that day, "Lord, Lord," and He will say, "I don't know you. You who disobey my Father's word." Saints, it's time for us to get right and be right and stay right with God. I'm at number 6, to receive a miracle, it may require deliverance from Satan's influence. And I'm going to just touch on this today. Folks, some problems, sickness and oppression are caused by demonic activity that must be cast out or broken off of our lives. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 12 and 22, it says, "Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and voiceless was brought to Jesus, and He healed him so that the man both spoke and saw." What did Jesus do? He cast that evil spirit off or out of that man. And therefore, he was healed. Now, folks, it's God's plan. It's His desire to bless you, to bless your family, to bless your descendants. When God created the first family on earth, He blessed them. Listen to what it says in Genesis 1 and 27. It says, "God blessed man in His own image." That is, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. And God blessed them. God is a God who desires to bless us. Come on, repeat after me. God desires to always bless me. However, after man's failure in the Garden of Eden, it became a choice whether we would be blessed or not. Today, we choose between blessings and curses. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. It says, "Today, I ask heaven and earth to be witness. I am offering you life or death, blessing or curses. Now choose life that you and your children may live. To choose life is to love the Lord your God, to obey Him, and to stay close to Him." A curse, by definition, means to bring judgment upon. It means to afflict, to bring injury or evil. A curse is an invisible barrier to miracles. And the Bible says blessings and curses will follow us based upon our obedience or disobedience to God. And it's always been that way.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
I'm going to give you another scripture in Deuteronomy 11:26. Today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, and you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God. Disobedience to God's word places you under a curse. And no one talks about this, or very few people talk about this. They think there are no consequences for our disobeying the word of God. That's a lie. Disobedience to God's word places you under a curse. In Deuteronomy 27 and 26, it says, cursed is anyone who does not affirm God's commandments by obeying them. It says in Deuteronomy 28 and 45, all these curses shall pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you refuse to listen to the Lord your God. And then it says, these horrors shall befall you and your descendants. Folks, the influences of a curse will pursue you if not broken. But it doesn't stop there. Also, that curse will follow your children and your descendants. And you say, well, what's actually following me? Well, what's actually pursuing us are invisible spiritual forces that are at work within these curses. You know, the spirit world exists around us. A world that we cannot see, yet it is a world that we interact with. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, it says, for we are not fighting against enemies of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenlies. Evil influences attack us through the doors that we leave open in our lives by the sin and the disobedience that we perpetrate against God's word. There's a scripture, it says in Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, it actually says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. When Satan went to God, he said, I cannot touch Job because you have placed the hedge all around him. The scripture is telling us that if we break that hedge of protection through disobedience, a serpent may bite us. Satan may attack us. And evil influences may enter to establish a curse against us, against our lives, a moral or a physical weakness that will result in a judgment upon you, upon your family, upon your descendants, if you don't repent of this thing and get rid of it and begin to walk in obedience to God. See, curses are established either by the sins of our ancestors or our personal disobedience to God. Let me read you another scripture in Numbers chapter 14 and 18. It says, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the parents to the third and the fourth generation where there is no repentance. Let me be more specific, and I'm going to give you a few, and I'm going to stop, and I'm going to pick it up again next time. I want to give you some of the common causes in the scripture for a curse. Number one, and I'm mentioning this because of our current events that are happening right now. Anti-Semitism will bring a curse upon you. Anti-Semitism. In Genesis chapter 12 and 1, the Lord said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. Number two, disobedience to God's word will bring a curse. And we mentioned that. That's found in Deuteronomy 27 and 26. It says, cursed is anyone who does not affirm and obey the word of God. And then I'll give you number three, idolatry. Idolatry. Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed is anyone who carves or casts an idol and sets it up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord. Now, when we speak of something that's detestable, it's an abomination or it brings a curse upon you. See, worshiping false gods and religions, any religion that rejects Jesus Christ, any religion that rejects Jesus Christ as God's son and only savior of the world is a false religion, folks. God calls it from the Old Testament idolatry, idol worship, worshiping a false god. And then there is the occult. That's number four, the occult. Any involvement in the occult will bring a curse upon you. Deuteronomy 18 and 10, it says, do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics. Or try to communicate with the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Once again, that's an abomination to God, which brings a curse. And then there's sexual immorality. Sexual immorality will bring a curse upon you. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and Leviticus chapter 18. It mentions sexual sins, and they will bring a curse upon you outside of marriage. And then there are wrong attitudes. Wrong attitudes. Kind of lost my numbers going there. Number four was the occult. Number five was sexual immorality. Number six is wrong attitudes. Is that correct? Thank you. Wrong attitudes toward who? Toward parents. Oh, we got some good young people right over here. Hey, guys. I'm glad you're here. Will you tell your friends this one? This is found in Deuteronomy 27 and 16. Listen to what it says. Cursed is the person who dishonors his father and his mother. And all the parents said, amen. Protect your children. Don't let them dishonor you because it'll bring a curse upon them. That's what the Bible says. Number seven, physical objects can be cursed and bring a curse upon an individual and the entire family. I want you to listen to this verse. I'm going to stop right here. Deuteronomy 7:26. It says, neither shall you bring an abomination into your house as something that's cursed, lest you become cursed like it. But you shall utterly detest it and you shall destroy it, for it is an accursed thing. So you have to be careful with objects, especially from other countries. For example, statues, masks, clothing, weapons, jewelry, pottery, coins, music, and that's a whole lot, folks, but you don't know what those people are doing with those objects and those things. Even books can be cursed. I'm going to end with this. Number eight, locations can also be cursed. It's important that you always pray before moving into a new location. And you should also dedicate your home or your apartment to the Lord. Give it to God. Now, we're going to end right here today. I want to simply do this, though. I want to give you just a few requirements to break a curse, because it's kind of rough giving you these things and then saying, I'll see you next week. So let me just at least give you some requirements to break a curse. Number one, you have to be born again. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. See, that will break the curse. Number two, confess any known or unknown sin. Remember, when you disobey with God's word, it brings a curse. So you've got to confess it and say, well, I reject what I once accepted. I accept the word of God as being totally true. Number three, confess Christ as Savior verbally. So you have to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior verbally. That's number three. We're talking about requirements to break a curse. Number four, commit yourselves to obey God's word. You've got to obey God's word. You can't just say it. You've got to do it. That's number four. Number five, you have to forgive everyone. You must forgive everyone. Number six, renounce all contact with the occult. Anything that you've done, people have innocently used Ouija boards, horoscopes, all those kinds of things. I'm a this and I'm a that. You know, my sign is, look, you've got to renounce all of that. And you, when we say renounce, you've got to speak, I renounce this in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a scripture that I want to give you in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, Christ redeemed me from the curse by becoming a curse for me, for it is written, curses everyone who is hung on a tree. Verse 14, he, that's Christ, redeemed me in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to all people through Jesus Christ. Okay? So those are the requirements to break a curse. Repeat Galatians chapter 3 and 13. Renounce, as we've spoken, any contact with the occult. The Bible says in Mark 16 and 17, these miraculous signs will follow them who believe. They will cast out evil spirits. Evil spirits are the spirits behind curses.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message for today is Seven Facts Jesus Taught to Receive Miracles, Part 2. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
You know, many of you have been waiting for God to answer a prayer for a very long time, and you wonder if he is going to answer. Well, the psalmist David, he believed God. And one of his prayers is one of my favorite portions of scripture in Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Folks, I want to let you know that God has heard your prayer, and God is answering your prayer. You know, the Bible says there are seasons and in times God answers prayers just at the right time. I want to pray with you right now to give you that assurance, and I'm going to pray that God will answer that prayer in this season. Father, I want to thank you for our listeners. And you put this thought in my mind for prayer. There are people out there right now who have been waiting for you to answer their prayer for a long time, and you said, don't give up. You said that you will answer it in the proper season. And I agree right now that you'll give them the grace and the strength so that they can continue to believe and trust you. And Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We bind your power. We rebuke the spirit of doubt and fear. We thank you, Lord, that everything we need, we find in you. And that there is no situation that will ever be able to overcome us, because we're your children. I bless your people today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.